Who's been a great friend of the show and is always willing to come in studio, which I very much appreciate, Philippe. Philippe Senderos coming in here. We're going to talk a couple segments with him. Well, you heard the Torres talk. What do you think about that?
I mean, he's a very high-profile player, and it would be amazing if he would come to the MLS first and then obviously to Houston even more. Like I said, he's a top player, and he could only bring people to the stadium and definitely put Houston Dynamo on the map. Definitely.
And by the way, Philippe obviously has played in World Cups with Switzerland, so we're in a World Cup year. We're going to talk about the World Cup, but also at Arsenal with Arsene Wenger. We're going to talk about that, but before we do that, something more important. Where are you injury-wise right now?
I'm getting better. It's taking a bit longer than expected, but the medical staff, the trainers have been brilliant, and we've put a very good program together, and I'm hopefully be training in the next couple of weeks. So.
And I know what a passionate player you are. You play the game with passion. I know it must be frustrating, huh?
Very frustrated. I've had the ups and downs in the last few weeks, and now I think I'm getting to it, so hopefully be back out there with my teammates. And I'm desperate to be back and help the team.
Now, Philippe has been one of the most wanted men in America after Arsene Wenger has decided to step down at Arsenal. I can imagine how many interviews and requests you've gotten. So it's our shot now. So just, you know, what Arsene meant to you, and you know, when you see him giving this farewell speech, you know, how does it touch you emotionally?
It touches me for sure. He's a great man, great manager. He's given me a lot, given me and my family a lot. He gave me the chance to fulfill a dream, first of all, is to play in the Premier League and to play for a team like Arsenal. Coming from Switzerland, you don't see many players going abroad and playing in the Premier League. And to have this chance to come at 18 years old and to sign for a big club like Arsenal was, for me, a dream come true. So definitely, I'm very grateful towards Arsene Wenger for this chance. And then to be able to play for 6.5 years for Arsenal, it's been an amazing experience for me.
Do you think he steps right into another coaching job? Because I know a lot of people are speculating that they think he's going to, a lot of people feel he's going to step into another job pretty quickly.
It's possible. I mean, he's given his life to Arsenal, you know. He's been in the game for many years before that. And now such a high-pressure job like Arsenal for 22 or I don't know how many years, it's remarkable to see how a person can sustain this amount of pressure for so many years. I mean, this is the top level, and he's a top manager at a top level team. They've gone on through many ups and downs. They've moved from an old stadium to a huge, fantastic facility. And the club has taken a huge step forward thanks to this. And their training ground is brand new as well. They have a huge new part of the training ground. I've had the chance to train there during the off season, and it's amazing to see from when I was there to now the huge leap forward that this club has made. And this is all thanks to Arsene Wenger. He's designed everything at the training ground. He said where he wanted the hot tubs, cold tubs, restaurant. He organized everything. He was literally an architect with the architects. He designed the training ground and made sure the stadium was going to fit right in with the mentality of the club. And that's what he's done for the football club. You know, he's put this mentality, he's given the chance to young players, talented young players. And many people are very grateful for the work that is done over the years.
Philippe Senderos joining us in studio, Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. By the way, the Houston Dasher in action tonight down at BBVA Compass Stadium, playing one of the better teams in the league, the Portland Thorns, with all their stars. So we're wishing them the best here tonight. We'll get you an update here after we go to commercial break. You mentioned Arsene Wenger as an architect. He was a football architect, this too. With his tactics and the way he ran Arsenal and was very revolutionary in many, many ways, ahead of his time, obviously influenced by Rinus Michels, with Johan Cruyff and Total Football. But when you first got there, what jumped out about some of his teachings that were very different and maybe very innovative?
Well, I have to put everyone in context a little bit. I arrived the year that Arsenal went unbeaten in the league. So that's a historical year. It's never happened probably before. It might not happen again because it's such a difficult task to go a whole season unbeaten. So it was a special team that I arrived, and there was great champions and captains and world champions, etc. So the first thing, like I said, so what they wanted to do is play nice football for sure, but then they were winners. These guys went out there to win every single game, and there was no option. There was nothing after not winning. So you knew when you were 3-0 down or 2-0 down, this team was going to come back because there was no other option. They had to win. So this is one of the things. And then, Arsene Wenger wanted to play short passing and nice football. And you know, the team had these type of players who could do that. And we would rip team apart, definitely.
Pieris, Freddie Ljungberg.
Bergkamp, Kanu.
Unbelievable.
I can tell you, the whole team was full of World Cup champions and great names of football.
Before we take a quick break here, just how much pressure was on you? You talked about the pressure on Wenger, but man, this is, you had to be eating, sleeping, drinking football. I mean, the pressure on you as a young man must have been intense.
Yeah, I mean, I had the confidence that he gave me and that he gave a lot of other young players was amazing. I mean, he didn't just throw you out there in a tough game. He threw you out there on a game when he knew you were ready for it, and he was preparing you for that game. So, you know, the circumstances, you know, I always hear about coaches, oh yeah, he plays a lot of young players, but this is not just about playing them and putting them out there. He's putting them into a context, a place where he will be comfortable, he will be able to develop as a player. And I think that's what Arsene Wenger has done over the years. He's been able to put young players surrounded by other very good players and let them develop their skill in this environment. And I think that really helps and give them that confidence as well.
Did he spend a lot of time talking to you as a young player? In other words, you know, that's time consuming. That can, we know the managers that walk by people and don't look at anybody. I'm assuming he spent a lot of time personally talking to you.
Yeah, no, yeah, not only to me, to a lot of players. I think Arsenal was one of the first teams who would really take younger players from 15, 16, 17 from other academies or other places and bringing them into their academy, into their second team, and eventually coming into the first team. And it worked, you know, for many years for Arsenal. Nowadays it's a bit different. Other academies have changed, but that's the time they would put in, you know. They would invest in young players, and then Arsene Wenger was the great architect of it all, and would form these players to become first team players. So he will take the time out in the training sessions to make sure the players learn the way the football should be played. There is a right way of playing the game and the way Arsenal was playing, and you have to respect the way that they were playing.
By the way, Philippe Senderos has been to a number of World Cups with Switzerland. We're going to talk a little Switzerland before we let him go here tonight. We'll do more with Philippe when we come back. Taking a quick commercial break here. By the way, soccer fans, Edo King's Court, right next to the stadium, 903 Hutchins, 13 TVs, giant big screen. It's King's Court. They show the Premier League down there, La Liga, Champions League, Bundesliga, and the Dynamo. 24 taps, full bar, extensive selection of spirits, wonderful pub food. Recommend the butter chicken or the curry. Get over to King's Court. Visit the amazing rooftop deck, jkingscourttx.com. This first hour presented by the Texas Children's Hospital. We appreciate their great support. CCCfund.org, a 501c charity. We are having a big event coming up with Alex Stepney, the legendary goalkeeper of Manchester United. More on that when we come back. More Philippe Senderos of the Houston Dynamo.
ESPN 97.5.
Hey, a hard time at night. She can be so sweet.
You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by Texas Children's Hospital. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. And again, our thanks to the Texas Children's Hospital, our first hour presenting sponsors. We appreciate everything they have done for the game and supporting sport here. And, of course, all the amazing things they do down at TCH. We go down there a lot with soccer balls and go into the rooms and visit with some of the patients. Maybe you want to come with me sometime, Felipe. And we go. We have a team. I've got two cancer survivors with me that are in their early 20s that are tremendous. Maybe you want to come with us one time. We'll let you decide that. We're not putting you on the spot.
No problem.
But I think they'd love to meet somebody like you as opposed to me. You know what I mean? A guy that's been in World Cups. Talk about your World Cup experience with Switzerland and just kind of the first one that you went to and what a remarkable thing it was.
Yeah, I was just talking about this with Hector, our press office. So what happened is I did the qualifying rounds in 2005. It went pretty quick. I was 19 then. So I moved straight up to the first team, and at 19 years old, you know, you're fearless. You know, I didn't think too much before the game.
Bulletproof, right?
Yeah, you don't think about anything. You just play the game, and yeah, I did the whole qualifying with Switzerland, and then we went on to the playoff game. We had to play two games against Turkey, one at home and one away. At home, I scored one of the goals, and then we went away and we lost 4-2, but overall we qualified, and that was an amazing joy.
What a moment for you as a 19-year-old. I mean, the entire country knew you.
Yeah, the entire country knew me and started talking about the team, and it was a great achievement, because since 94, the team didn't qualify, so since the U.S., USA, where we actually Switzerland played the USA.
Alan Suter.
Yes, exactly, with a long
remember,
blonde
hair. Remember, he played in MLS too? Yes, you know that. You're not the first Swiss guy to come here, by the way.
I did meet
him. Don't think you can lay claim to that. That was way back in the days of the Dallas Burn and the Cotton Bowl. Somehow Alan got used to the heat as well.
Yeah, no, he did. He was a good player for
very
the national
gifted,
team.
Yeah.
So, since then, the team didn't qualify, so it was a great achievement. The whole country got behind us. And it was a new generation of football players, you know, playing abroad and establishing themselves abroad and slowly breaking that complex that maybe Swiss players had, you know, for a few years. And we did that, and I was in the national team, so we went to Germany, and that was a great experience. I mean, my family came over with the train from Switzerland because it's a neighboring country. So many Swiss fans came over to Germany. It was incredible. We played in Dortmund, and I remember against Togo. That was the second game, and the whole stadium was red. You know, and we don't have a 70,000 seat stadium in my home country. The maximum is 40,000, and that was the record crowd for many years that we had at a Swiss game. You know, so that was a great thing to play part of. We then qualified for the last 16, and then we got knocked out on penalties. It was a shame, but for me it was a bit up and down, because I scored in the last qualifying game, and at the same time I injured myself, so I had to finish the game a little bit earlier, but it was an amazing memory for me to be able to play in that World Cup and to participate and to help my country do something special.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Never can be taken away from you. And then, of course, 2010 and 2014, Switzerland goes again. So you guys get on a real run, real confident, very competitive in these World Cups.
Yeah, we had the Euros in between in Switzerland, which helped as well continue that that momentum a little bit, and all this new generation really who came over in 2010 with very young players. 2014 again, very young players coming through, winners of the under 17 World Cup, and that was special as well, having real winners. You know, my generation we have a few players. One of my teammates who plays for Dallas, Reto Ziegler, we won the under-17 European Championship. And that was the first time a Swiss team won in anything, you know, international at that level, under-17. And then the under-17, a few years later, won the World Cup, which never, ever happened in the history of Switzerland. You have to remember, Switzerland has 7 million inhabitants. Yeah. So it's a very small country. Yep. And to be able to do that at that level, it's an incredible achievement.
People forget sometimes, you know, the size of some of these countries that are successful, like you in Switzerland, which leads me to now. What do you think about the Swiss in the group with Brazil, Costa Rica, and Serbia? Second place is a legitimate shot, right?
Yes.
Without a doubt.
The
Serbia.
Opening game is against Brazil, so that's already a very big test for us. We had that test in South Africa when we played the opening game against Spain. We won that first game, then Spain went on to win the World Cup. So I don't know. I don't know if we can start Switzerland can start the World Cup well. It might be an omen for Brazil.
Maybe it's good to get Brazil in the very first game of a tournament as opposed to the third.
Probably, yeah.
Maybe.
Why not?
We grasp on to anything we can, right?
But I do think this generation is probably the most talented that Switzerland ever had, even the last ones that we qualified at the World Cup. And that's discounting me. I'm not in the squad at the moment, but I do think this squad has the most potential any Swiss squad ever had. They have a few players at every position, and all these players play abroad in top clubs, and we never had that much variety and that many players abroad.
He's Philippe Senderos joining us in studio. Houston Dynamo, played at Arsenal. Amazing career he's had. He's played in World Cups, you name it, he's done it. We love having him in studio. I saw something from Martin Keown, former Arsenal defender. You're very aware of him. He came out, though, very critical of Mesut Ozil, saying that Ozil picks and chooses the games he plays. Now, I'm not relating my situation, but when I played on a pro team in the 80s, you know, we had guys on our team that, you know, knew how to play that game with injury, and maybe there was a road game they didn't want to play and they were injured. Did you ever encounter that at Arsenal? Where players, he called him a con artist, conning people, saying he picks and chooses when he wants to play.
Yeah, again, I'm not going to agree or disagree. I think Martin has his opinion, and he was a great defender, and for sure he wasn't one to pick any game. He would go head first at any challenge, and he would put his head where people wouldn't even put their foot. So yeah. That's for Martin. Then on Ozil, I think this is all attitude thing. He's a tremendous talent, and I think one of the most talented player in the Arsenal squad. And I don't think anyone can say anything different. He's very, very talented. And the whole fact, his attitude, the way he runs, might seem like he picks and chooses, but I don't think you can go out there. If you're a winner, if you've played for Germany, you won the World Cup, you've played for Real Madrid, you played for Arsenal, and I don't think you can pick and choose your games. You're a winner, and you go out there, and you want to win every game. Then maybe his attitude, his demeanor might seem like it, but yeah, that's my opinion again.
Tell me about Highbury, playing at Highbury.
It was amazing. It felt like playing in my back garden, honestly. It was this.
Well,
the
your
first
back
time.
Garden was Servette, right? I mean,
it was
the stadium,
was,
so
right.
You were pretty used to this stuff.
But Highbury felt like home, really felt like home from the very beginning. That's where I made my debut, and I loved it. And, you know, the people, that's where I had most of my best games, really, for Arsenal in that Champions League run when we went on to the final in 2005-06. That was probably my best time at Arsenal, and I really enjoyed playing there. Historical stadium, and yeah, you feel like you could know where people were sitting. I remember I used to live at a lady's house in Diggs. I don't know, landlady, with another player, Fabregas. I just wanted.
Yeah.
We used to live together when we were younger, when we first arrived, and I knew where she was sitting in the stadium. you know. And so before every game, I would just spot her in the stand.
Oh, that's a wonderful story.
Yeah, it was great because you knew, and people around her were sitting together for the last 20 years. It was really, they had their season ticket and they knew. So it did feel like a family club at the time. And then when we moved on to the Emirates, it was a total different game. I mean, the club took a huge step forward.
Philippe Senderos joining us. Oh, right. So when the landlady, you'd see her when you come home. Did she ever give you any tips on the game or say good game? Or what?
She was a huge Arsenal fan. Yeah. And she still is, actually, Noreen. And she's famous because she had a few Arsenal players who went on to play for the first team. So, And we had great memories together. Yeah.
How was Cesc Fabregas as a roommate?
He was 15. He was really young, so I was helping him because it was his first time abroad. He only speaks Spanish. He didn't know a word of English. So back then, they put him together with me, so I could help him out in everyday life. And we would go, and he would train with the younger team, the under 17s, and they very soon realized that he had a lot of talent and. And they upgraded him very, very soon to the first team.
Philippe, what keeps you going? You know, it must be burning. I mean, I see the way you play the game. It's got to be burning you not to be on the field. I mean, how do you maintain some clarity? I mean, you got a wife, you got a child. You know, you can't carry that over into your family. These are, you know, for you to feel like you're doing something and achieving, you have to be on that field. And right now you're not.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, you got it spot on. I live every single day. I enjoy what I do. I love what I do. And I love being out there with my teammates and being able to help them and winning games. I mean, this is what I do. At the moment, I'm not being able to do what I'm supposed to do. And it's very frustrating. Believe me, I'm at every game. I'm supporting my team and I'm even more nervous than when I'm playing. So for me, playing the game is the most important thing at the moment. I want to concentrate on you know, playing as long as possible. And my family know that. My wife can't wait for me to get back out there and play because she knows I'm frustrated and I'm not playing at the moment.
Philippe, thank you very much for coming in studio. It's always a pleasure, and we really appreciate you coming in.
Thank you very much. I want to say the crowd the last weekend was brilliant, I think, against LA, and we want to continue having so many people every game. You know, if the people are behind us, the team will put on a show, and that's what happened the last weekend, and hopefully, you know, they can continue to support us like this during the season.
Tell you what, this is a guy who gets it. He comes in here every night, and I love the fact that you do your own promotion because you care that much about the team and the club. Thank you for that, Philippe.
Definitely. Thank you.
Very, very important. That's Philippe Senderos. Love having him in studio. And by the way, our thanks to Carl Eves of Liberty Kitchen because we were able to give a gift certificate to Liberty Kitchen to Philippe. And by the way, there's a location right around the street here in River Oaks for that restaurant. So you'll be able to find it. River Oaks, Memorial City, and the Heights. So we also want to remind you, with the World Cup rapidly approaching, you want to get your home theater situation sorted out. THS is the place to go to get set up for the 2018 World Cup in Russia. Now, THS stands for Tranquility Home Systems. They will give you a quote. Jesse will come out. He'll give you a quote. You can get home theater installation with the latest 4K video technology. Do you want to see the World Cup in crystal clear 4K technology? Yes, you do. 20 years experience, THS Network. Networking, lighting designs, motorized shades, home audio. New home theater for the World Cup in Russia. Yes, you want it. Jesse, 281-506-7822, www.ths3inc.com. 7 live shows during the knockout stages at the Gorgeous Gale. It's going to be a blast out there. Get out during the summer and in June to that and in July. And also, we're going to have a Champions League live broadcast of Soccer Matters at FM Bar and Restaurant, FM Bar. That's near Washington on Durham. That is on the 26th. More information on that, go to Facebook Soccer Matters. We're going to take a break. We've got Peter Shad coming up next, talking Vancouver Whitecaps of TSN.
ESPN 97.5.